Hey, if you're looking for more action on the road, check out what Cutting Audio's got. Deathlands. Outlanders. The Executioner. Stony Man. We're loaded for bear. Available at road stops everywhere or at www.cuttingaudio.com.
Cutting Audio.
This was America in the late 21st century. 100 years earlier, a rain of nuclear bombs had obliterated civilization in a few minutes of blazing horror. And with the first nuclear explosion, the tissue-thin tapestry of civilization was ripped apart. The rule of law was replaced overnight with the somber, draconian edict of survival of the fittest. But one small handful of people refused to surrender hope. Ryan Cotter and his companions traveled the continent, searching for some place where they could settle down and live in peace. Armed with functioning pre-dark weapons, the companions killed only when necessary, and preferred trading for supplies rather than stealing. In a world gone mad, these simple acts of dignity nearly made them legends. In addition, Ryan Cotter and the others knew the greatest military secret of the pre-dark world, the redoubts. Hidden across America, these often huge underground bunkers were built by the government to withstand direct nuclear hits. Powered by the near limitless energy of nuclear reactors, most redoubts were still intact after a century. Incredible havens of safety with fluorescent lights, air conditioning, and drinkable water. Originally, the subterranean bases were stockpiled with everything needed to rebuild the country after the coming apocalypse. Weapons, tools, military vehicles, fuel, and medicine. These countless tons of supplies were long gone, with only a few forgotten boxes of dusty weapons and dehydrated food packs remaining. However, these meager scraps from the past were more than enough to give the companions a fighting chance to stay alive. And sometimes they came across a major prize. Yet even more importantly, the redoubts were linked together by the incredible Mattrans units. These amazing machines depended on technology advanced almost beyond understanding. The Mattrans units could transfer a living person from one redoubt to another in only seconds, which allowed the companions to quickly leave a dangerous area, hunt for food, and continue their search for a permanent home. Unfortunately, it now seemed possible that others might also know the vital secret of the redoubts. A few days earlier, a stranger named Overton had attacked Ryan's homeville of Front Royal with an army of SecMen. The troops were wearing impossibly clean blue shirts and were armed with pre-dark weapons in mint condition. Overton's goal was to conquer Front Royal by any means available, then physically link it with two neighboring villes in Virginia, creating a single massive walled city, a gigantic metropolis the likes of which hadn't been seen for more than a century. The would-be usurper was finally neutralized by Ryan, but the reasons behind the insane plan were lost in violent death, and the mysterious origin of the weapons was never resolved. Had Overton been working alone in his plan to seize control of those three East Coast baronies, or was he a vanguard, an advance agent, paving the way for somebody else? Was creating a new metropolis in Deathlands the final goal, or only the first step of a much larger plan? And was the secret of the redoubt's existence still safe? A dying man had said the answers to these questions could be found in a distant ville called Shiloh. While the Baron at Front Royal started to rebuild the badly damaged ville, Ryan Cotter and the companions left on a perilous overland journey to try to discover if the brutal war for the baronies was indeed over. Or only just beginning. Cutting Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Terence Acil Ford, Colleen Delaney, Nanette Savard, and Mort Shelby. Deathlands 47, Gaia's Demise.
Black dust.
The man pointed toward the horizon.
What the hell is that?
A dozen people at the campsite stopped whatever they were doing and turned to look in the direction indicated. Cresting a hill far down the road was a wag of some sort. No, it was a rolling box of metal with a stream of faint bluish smoke coming from its rear. The sides were sloped at sharp angles, no windshield or windows were visible, and it had numerous big black wheels. There wasn't a single visible piece of wood in the whole contraption.
A wag!
A teenager wiped his mouth on a dirty sleeve as he placed aside his plate of stew. Standing, the teenager grabbed a long blaster from the top of a woodpile and worked the bolt, chambering around. He licked dry lips as a soft wind ruffled the thin rags that were his clothing. Another man stood and pulled a crossbow into view from his nest of clothes.
A metal wag! I never seen one to move before!
Leaning heavily on a repaired crutch, an elderly man glanced over his shoulder to a nearby grassy field. A crude wall of thickets and sharp sticks formed a defensive barrier around the clearing, and in the middle stood a faded yellow school bus, its many windows heavily patched with gray tape and bits of plastic. The wheels were sunk into the hard ground, and a tilted stone chimney rose from the back. The rusted remains of a few other wags dotted the field, the grass thin enough in spots to see the cracked black material underneath. Way off by itself, the rounded shell of a beetle-shaped vehicle was surrounded by weeds, the open front door showing that the interior had been completely stripped, except for a cushioned seat that had a hole cut in the bottom. The opening continued through the chassis and deep into the ground. Fat flies buzzed around the battered wag, and for an unknown reason, a half moon was painted on the door.
A working wag!
The young man called Tant drew a bulky revolver from the belt holding his buckskin jacket closed and lovingly ran his hands over the parkerized finish of the big bore weapon. The wooden handle had been replaced with bone long ago.
Must be some baron.
A pretty blonde pulled a long carving knife from her sleeve.
Or slavers.
The man touched a ragged scar that completely circled his thick neck. In his massive hands, he held a metal rod tipped with a razor-sharp radiator fan. The ends glistened, mirror bright in the morning sun.
They got wags. Well, sometimes.
We best leave it alone.
The old woman hobbled a bit closer to the roadway, but didn't cross onto the gravel of the berm. She knew her place. That honor was for menfolk only.
Let them leave without a toll.
The old man watched the wag come steadily closer. His face was deeply lined, but not from hunger, and a puckered star on the right cheek marked where he had been shot in the face at close range. His boots were patched, his jacket was lined with the fur of mountain lion, and a brace of oiled revolvers jutted from his wide leather belt.
Black dust, what for, woman?
Her weak eye wandering aimlessly, the old woman scowled down the road and gestured at the strange vehicle.
Are you daft, Spectre? That ain't be no civvy wag. That's a war wag, a tank.
Raising a hand to strike her, Spectre held his anger at the outburst, knowing she was only doing so for the good of the collectors. Dimly, he recalled hearing the word before from Granda. His father's father had been a great leader of the collectors, siring 14 children before dying. A mutie had leaped from the belly of a deer they killed one winter and tore off his arms before the others could bludgeon it to death. Drawing a blaster, Spectre squinted against the distance. No, couldn't be a real tank, as the wag didn't have those metal belts on either side that chewed up the streets. It had, whatchacallums?
Tires!
Tant loaded a massive crossbow. The quarrel was of green wood, but the barbed tip was steel, lashed into place with human hair.
Blasters. Then there'd be fancy auto blasters on its top.
Auto blasters?
A pregnant girl brandished an axe. a naked child hiding behind her voluminous skirts.
Fire more slugs than 100 sec men at once.
A red-headed boy scoffed at this, the glass bottle in his hand sloshing slightly. The whiskey